Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Listening to English. The five L's. That's what you should be doing as much as you can as part of your lifestyle. And this podcast is here to help you do exactly that. But don't forget the importance also of the five P's. Practice, 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 and practice. Practice, practice, practice. Is that five? Yes. Practice in the form of listening and indeed reading, but also for your productive skills too, the five S's, speaking, 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 and speaking. Or in fact, the five C's, conversation, 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 conversation. Because conversations involve the interplay of both listening and speaking, which is so important in the development of proper communication skills. But the issue is, who can you talk to, and how can you fit this into your busy lifestyle? Well, iTalki, the sponsor of this podcast, might be the solution for you, because with iTalki, you can find qualified teachers and native speakers for conversations or lessons whenever and wherever you want. And remember, because you listen to this podcast, iTalki are willing to offer you a free lesson. To find out more and to take advantage of that wonderful offer, go to teacherluke.co.uk/talk or click an iTalki logo on my website. Okay then, so here's a new episode, which I actually recorded a few months ago. And so I recorded it, I edited the whole thing together, and then I promptly lost the entire recording when I accidentally deleted it. You know, when you are working on a project like on Microsoft Word, or in this case, GarageBand, which is like an audio editing application for Apple Mac computers, when you're working on a project and you change something in the project, and instead of clicking Save As, you accidentally click Save, and you basically lose the entire previous version. Well, that's exactly what happened here. I had the whole project ready, all done, edited and everything, and I put a new recording in to start working on that, and I wanted to click Save As to save it as a new episode, and I accidentally clicked Save, and wham, the whole thing was gone. I wiped the entire episode. Anyway, I managed to find the original files on an SD card, and I have edited it together again. So here it is, even though it was recorded a few months ago. So without any further ado, let's get started, and here is the jingle. You're listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk. Hello, ladies and gents. Welcome back to another episode of the podcast. I hope you're doing well. This episode is called What's on the Table with Fred and Alex. And I'm joined by Fred Iango and Alex Quillian. Hi, guys.
Hello.
And they're sitting in front of me, both of them looking extremely excited.
I'm very excited.
Are you excited?
Yes.
I feel like I'm in front of my principal, like, not again.
But you feel like you're in front of, like, the head teacher in school?
The head teacher, yes.
Really? Is that how you see me? Like, the head teacher?
Maybe it's the accent, or... No, I'm just kidding. It's just that we're two kids in front of, like, an older adult. And we're both giggling, like, we peed on the floor. I don't know. And he's more comfortable. I'm more, like, nervous. So it's, like, his first time, or my first time being a bad kid or something.
This is a sitcom duo.
Yeah. Basically, ladies and gents, I'm sitting in front of two excitable school children.
Yes.
One called Fred, one called Alex. Ooh. And here's what's going to happen in this episode, all right? First of all, and I'm talking to the audience here, okay? And you as well, because you don't know what we're going to do yet, do you?
No. What's on the table, literally?
Yeah, that's right. So, this, as I said, this episode is called What's on the Table? And first, what we're going to do is get to know Fred and Alex a little bit. We already know Fred from his previous appearance on the podcast in episode number 430.
96.
It was episode 430. So after we've got to know them, then we're going to move on to the whole what's the table concept, which sounds like a concept, but actually it's not really. And I know what you're thinking, ladies and gentlemen. You're thinking, oh, this sounds amazing. What's the concept of what's on the table, Luke? Pray tell us. Well, I've written some questions and topics onto pieces of paper, and I've placed them face down on the table in front of us. Okay?
Mystery.
What we're going to do is flip them over one by one and discuss the heck out of them. Right. And that's it. Okay? I've called it What's on the Table. I was also thinking of calling it Discuss This. Like in a movie or something, you know? You know, like the way they say that in movies sometimes? You know, like you're feeling hungry, eat this.
Oh.
You know? You want to watch something? Watch this. Bam. You want to discuss something? Discuss this. You know, that kind of thing. So, but I chose not to use that title because I thought it would be a bit ridiculous. So instead I've gone with What's on the Table with Fred and Alex. And so we have some topics which are on the table for discussion. That's an expression, by the way. Fred and Alex are sitting there like waiting for me to finish this introduction. The whole podcast is going to go like that.
Good.
And you're just going to sit there. You're just going to sit there.
Three giggles. I'm like, okay, that's it.
Okay, I'm just kidding. We're going to start properly in a minute. I was going to explain that on the table is an expression. Did you know that?
Yes, I actually did.
I did not know that.
How would you explain?
Well, something is on the table when it's up. Well, to go back to the, it's up for discussion. It's something you can talk about. It's a subject.
Exactly.
In front of you.
Something that's been put forward for discussion.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. For example, in a business meeting. I have to say all this stuff because this is a podcast for learners of English.
Oh, please.
Yes.
Go ahead. I enjoy this.
Yeah. So, for example, you know, I wouldn't wait too long to accept the job offer. It might not be on the table for very long, you see? Or, before this meeting begins, we'd just like to make sure that the topic of salary bonuses is going to be on the table. All right. Yeah. And, you know, well, our best offer is on the table. Take it or leave it. You see?
Yeah.
And in this case, what's on the table for discussion today? You can also use, did you know this? You can also use the word table as a verb.
To table something?
To table something.
Which context?
It's the same meaning, basically.
Oh, really?
Isn't like, does that have to do with, like, stacking up stuff?
No, it's just exactly the same as on the table. Table. So
table a subject?
Okay. To table a subject or something is tabled.
Oh, so didn't know that.
To be tabled for discussion, for example. It's a bit formal. Okay. It means to present something for discussion. For example, to table a motion.
Oh.
You know?
Okay. Oh, yeah, like in a legal system or something like that.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly, Fred.
Okay.
Like in the legal system.
You win this round, Fred.
Like Fred just won one point.
Okay.
To table a motion, to formally put forward a topic for discussion, or perhaps a proposal for a new law. Okay, we're not going to be creating new laws here, but we're tabling some points for discussion just so that people can listen to some real English actually being spoken on the podcast, all right? That's in British English, by the way. In American English, it means the opposite.
To
table something means...
To remove something?
Yeah, just to, like, we'll talk about it later.
Oh.
So let's not...
That is very interesting.
It's like, well, you know, we'll table that for later discussion.
So something got lost in translation when they crossed the ocean.
No, they're just wrong. yeah, maybe something got lost in translation somewhere. But yeah, in America, they would say something like, you know, it means... If you table something, it means you postpone it until later. For example... The healthcare bill has been put on the table until spring.
That means they're not talking about it because...
They're putting it to one side. They're going to come back to it later.
But is it interesting that you could also say you're shelving it to the side?
Exactly.
Ah, yeah, shelving, I know.
One point to Alex. One point to Alex because that's the next thing that I've got on my list here. I said it's like shelving something, to put something on a shelf.
Yes.
Because we do have the expression shelved, meaning postponed until later. This topic has been tabled for later discussion, you might say, in America.
Mm-hmm.
With an American accent, I would imagine.
Tabled.
This topic has been tabled for a later discussion.
Is it like a land borrow situation where the people get to America from England didn't know which one it was? If we table, like, they didn't know if it was... Oh, do we put it on a table? Or do we, like, put it off back another table.
I don't know the story, to be honest.
Only the people didn't know what table meant traveled, and they kept it there, and they still don't know what it means.
Maybe they had two tables. There was the table in front of them where things get discussed, and then there's another table over there where they put things to until later, you know? So I think it's, that's just, they mixed up the tables.
Yeah, maybe British people are just more proactive.
Yeah, we we've just got one table.
Yeah,
Americans have got more space. They've got two tables. their table is where they put things for later. Anyway, but we speak British English here. Thank you very much. At least I do, anyway. Types of English, that's one of the points that's on the table, I believe, and we'll come on to that. But introductions, right? Before we get to the whole on the table thing, we need to do a couple of introductions. We need to know who is party to this meeting. So... let's see. I think we'll start with you, Fred. Can I ask you to introduce Alex?
Yeah, sure. I can do that.
Go ahead.
So Alex Quillian is a French American Filipino. No, technically he's half French, half Filipino. If I understood everything after,
I'll do the correcting after.
Oh. Yeah. And also lived in Indonesia and San Francisco.
Uh huh.
And he's a comedian I met 3 years ago. And he's a friend of mine. He's a comedian. He's a very funny guy. And what else do you do?
Is that accurate, what he said?
So I'll give you the 50 euros for all those compliments. Thank you for that. it's almost correct. I mean, I'm not legally American because Trump. No, I'm kidding. I'm not American, but that's a common mistake because I speak... like an American, and I do talk about American stuff a lot. But I grew up in America from the age of 4 to 14, so that's where I developed an American accent and all that stuff.
Uh-huh.
But you know, at the end, because I'm very ambiguous in my brain, and on stage I talk about how I have a lot of ambiguous thoughts about being French, I am half Filipino as well, so it's complicated. I'm actually... a quarter Italian as well, but...
Really? Oh.
Yeah, it's...
I didn't know that.
Alessandro
Del Piero. But I don't like to mention that just because makes me too attractive. No, it makes... no, just because my grandmother moved from Torino, like in the early 30s, because of a guy named Mussolini, to France. And so, like, we don't know that much about the Italian side of her family because she wanted to, I guess, move on and stuff. So I don't like to, hey, I'm Italian. Like, tell me three things about your Italian side. I don't know. So,
technically, you're a quarter Italian, but
technically, I'm quarter Italian, but I'm not going to go out and say I'm Italian because it's not true.
You don't know anything about Italian culture or life or anything. Well, pizza.
Well, I know
pizza.
About.
We know about pizza, right?
I know about pizza.
I know about. Linguini, but I'm not going to brag about it. Or,
okay, all right. But do you think that quarter Italian makes you a better person than anyone else?
What's funny is that, like, when I... because a lot of times Fred notices this, but whenever someone asks me, where are you from? Since I have, like, a, I guess, an interesting history, because I've lived in Indonesia, I lived in France, I lived in America. I was born in Singapore. All this... stuff, and then when I hear the question, where are you from, Fred does a little chuckle because I always do like a sigh. I'm like, okay, here we go. So here's my biography, because it's always very common, because usually people go, I'm from Cameroon, I'm from England, right? And I have to go, okay, because I don't know, because when someone says, where are you from, it's very ambiguous in my brain because I don't really know how to answer that question.
You don't know basically.
I don't know, and so I just give like, I've lived here, I'm this and that and that. So so whenever, to bring back to the Italian thing, whenever I say I'm French Filipino, it's like, oh, okay, that's okay. And then if I say I'm Italian, ooh, right? Like, oh, the French Italian part, the French Filipino part wasn't interesting, but the moment I say Italian, like, oh.
But you don't have any of the knowledge of Italy to back it up, though, right? So if you say I'm a quarter Italian, then they're like, ooh, wow, brilliant. And they expect you to be a great cook and a great lover. Oh, and you're neither of those things. I don't know.
You've seen it. no, I did because I used to live in San Francisco, and I have an older sister. And so in sixth grade, but in English, I know it's a different system.
What age? Sixth grade.
That was discussed on Fred's podcast. He had the exact same question, and then he said like 11.
Yeah, it's like 12.
11 or 12 or something.
12 years old, so that's the beginning of secondary school.
It's the first time you learn a new language normally, I think.
Okay.
In Western...
I would say secondary school. In the UK, we generally just try not to learn new languages. No, I'm joking.
Cockney.
All right, mate. Yeah,
My sister, she learned Spanish, which is, especially in California, it's very normal to learn Spanish.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to be like my sister. I'm like, you're not better than me. So my school offered Italian. So for 2 years, I learned Italian. And then my family moved to Indonesia.
So the Italian really came in useful.
So it was very very useful, as you said. And so my first year in Indonesia, they only had Spanish, right? So I had to take Spanish. So I wasted 2 years of my life. I was already wasting my life as a 12-year-old. And then I already made bad decisions. And then it was funny because the first year in Spanish, my Spanish teacher would ask me questions like, oh, so blah, blah, normal questions. And I answer in Italian, like, io sono Alessandro. He's like, no. Yo, whatever. And I was like, oh, God.
So it's all a bit sort of confused in terms of where you come from.
So the Italian thing was just like, that was just another example of why it's not useful for me, because I'm just wasting my time and everyone's time, even though it is technically in my blood.
To say that you're Italian, because this happens.
Yes.
Because you end up having to explain.
Exactly.
Okay, so let me just try and break it down then. So born in Singapore.
Yes.
4 years in Singapore?
Yes.
Okay. And then moved to the United States?
Yes, San Francisco.
San Francisco. Nice. Yes.
Very diverse.
Yeah. In the city itself?
In the city itself. So we ran out of money. No. because San Francisco, it's notorious for being a... At least, maybe, expensive. especially now with Silicon Valley. But maybe back then it was a little bit less expensive, but... So in the 90s and then early 2000s, I lived in San Francisco.
Wow, cool. Okay, and then at what age did you leave?
Then at 14 till the end of high school, I lived in Indonesia in Jakarta.
Yeah.
So that was quite the change because I go from first world country with like the most liberal values. Like my best friend had two moms and stuff. He has two moms. Oh, not that that matters, but just saying like the mentality.
Wait, your best friend had two moms?
Yeah, because they're lesbians.
Oh, right. Okay.
This guy. I was trying to be subtle with it.
Yeah, no, sorry. I can't help myself.
This is a podcast where you cannot say the word lesbian too much.
No? Well, I don't know. I don't know. Have I said lesbian a lot?
Your reaction was a little like, she had two moms.
It's like, wait a minute, you have to say the word. You have to say she's a lesbian.
See, you're the principal.
They were both lesbians, in fact.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, the point, the lesbian part's not important. The point is, like, it's very liberal. There's different cultures. It's, everyone's, accepting of different kinds of lifestyles and stuff.
Right.
And then you move to Indonesia. And it's the most populated Muslim country in the world. Not to say that that's wrong, but it's just...
Different.
As a 14-year-old, you go from, hey, guys, we're friends, we live a liberal lifestyle, to like, hey, it's Ramadan, don't drink water in front of your Muslim friends, because that's, it's insensitive.
Right.
So I'm like, okay. And so the thing is, before, as a 14-year-old, I was like, daddy, it's not fair, why can't I, whatever. Do I have to live in this poor country, right? But in hindsight, like today, now... I'm happy that happened because it allowed me to see different perspectives and because like I have a lot of friends from San Francisco, or even I meet people from San Francisco. I've told this to Fred many times. When I meet people from San Francisco in Paris, they're always like, they say, hey, where are you from? Instead of saying, I'm from America, they go, I'm from San Francisco. Have you heard of it? It's like the most tolerant place in the world. And it's like, okay. It's not that it's not true. It's just that... There's a bubble that they're in. Not everyone, but like a common perception is that they have a bubble of like we're the best at the most tolerant, right? Whereas Indonesia, it's like a completely different world, and it's not that it's not tolerant, but it's just like you have to adapt, and then you learn about different cultures, and then as a result, you grow as a person.
Yeah, the thing about in San Francisco is that they're so proud of how open-minded and liberal they are, but they've never been out of that particular world. That I mean, you know,
I've had Thai food, yeah, but have you seen the people? No, but the Thai food's delicious.
Yeah, have you actually lived in a completely different culture for any length of time? No, but you know, I really like acai bowls. So interesting, very interesting. Okay, San Francisco, then Indonesia, Jakarta, and then you moved somewhere else.
Then I graduated high school. I think, no, I graduated high school and then I moved to France for school.
Which age?
18, okay. 19. So I went there to go to business school, which is very similar to Fred's story. Because when I was listening back to the podcast, I was like, I remember on his podcast, or your guys' podcast together, he's talking about like, you were like, stop focusing on the dates. We get it. You're basically an accountant. You went to business school, whatever.
Yeah. And oh, yeah. There were lots of dates and numbers dates, with you, wasn't numbers. There, Fred? Yes. Yeah.
And so he'd be like, so on 1806, I arrived here. But so he was like, so in 2010 at, I think it was March something something, right?
Too specific.
And though, even though I was like laughing, I'm like, Fred, use your brain. Don't be weird. But at the same time, I was like, wait, I'm doing the exact same thing in my brain. Like, when did I arrive? And like, what time did I arrive? Pull so on. I did arrive like in 2010. Mm-hmm. Like him,
yeah,
and then went to business school in Paris, and I graduated with a degree in business administration, which is nonsense. But
wait, what does business administration let you do? What can you can administer business?
All of it.
So what?
Basically, it's a degree you get when you're not sure what you want to do. No, I mean it's like you say what you can do. You can kind of do everything in a sense. It was just like everything. So. I could administer business, if that makes sense.
Okay, so you basically, you know how to deal with spreadsheets, or you know how to
Excel
deal with like,
and stuff.
And profit and loss accounts and accounting basics and all that stuff.
Can I do it well? We don't know, but I can technically do it, yes.
Okay, all right, cool. And then here you are in France.
And then I graduated from that school, and then I discovered comedy. Because as you do,
how did you discover it? Like you were just digging one day, and then a comedy.
I was doing gardening. I think subconsciously in my brain, I was like, I would like to do like okay, business is great and all, but if I had the opportunity to do something that's not the 9-to-5 job, not that there's anything wrong with the 9-to-5 job, if I have one opportunity to do something, what other talent do I have? Sports, no. Singing, no.
You're very good at cutting a mango,
as
we discovered earlier on.
That is my side business.
He, by the way, he brought, because Alex is nice, he brought some mangoes.
Yes, I did.
As a gift, he brought an offering of...
Unlike
Fred, who brought nothing
at
all, except for himself.
Yes.
But Alex brought two mangoes.
Delicious.
They were delicious. He proceeded to cut them up there in the kitchen. He did an excellent job, even if, you know, I've got no idea how to cut a mango. But Alex was like, this is how you cut a mango. And he proceeded to slice it like a true expert. Yes. And then we enjoyed some tasty mango before doing the podcast.
I hope I have one more point over Fred.
Yeah, you get an extra point. Good. There's 2-1.
It's
2-1 to Alex now. 2 points to Alex and 1 point to Fred. Yeah. Other things you can do. So you think, I can do business. Yeah, I can count. Got numbers, but I can cut a mango. What else can I do?
I could count to 10 sometimes. So I was thinking, okay, if I could do something that's not quote unquote boring in my head.
Mm-hmm.
What are the talents I have? I'm like, I've made people laugh before. And then I just went on Google. It's like, English comedy in Paris? Why? That would never exist. And then click, it existed. It's like, oh, wow, okay.
What was the first thing you came to then?
So I went to, maybe Sebastian Marx has been on the show before.
Yeah.
And he was still hosting an open mic. But it was like the last days of that. So in March 2014.
What time?
It started at 9 o'clock, I think, in the morning. No, at night.
Yeah.
And then I did it. And then I remember back then, I guess Sebastian wasn't as famous as he is now. I called him personally, and he took up the time to say, give me rules. Like, you can just do this, and don't worry about it. Don't give like specifics about TV shows that no one's watched. I was like, I don't deserve this kindness. And then he became famous. And even though I know him, he doesn't respond anymore. But
really?
I don't message him.
You don't even call him anymore.
I don't call him because
he's too famous in your eyes.
Because we broke up with his money.
He went off and, you know, spoke to other people.
Yeah, he's talking to other people. How dare he? How dare he follow his dreams? No, of course he's a great guy. But it's just like, so then I did it. And then I did okay. And then I was like, this is kind of fun. And yeah, and then eventually met Freddie.
Yeah. First time you saw me, I bombed. Like,
wait, you bombed?
Like crazy.
What does that mean?
Like, bombing means being on stage and doing a comedy set. So you tell your jokes, but no one laughs. That's bombing. Exactly.
So he bombed when you saw him.
When I first saw him, I was like, I hope I never see him again, because that was the worst thing I ever heard in my life.
Yeah.
What? Why did he bomb? What did he do wrong?
I think, you correct me if I'm wrong, I think it's because he was used to performing in front of a different kind of audience, which wasn't traditionally a comedian audience. It was more of a poetry kind of, you know.
And also more forgiving.
The kind of spoken word audience that are there to listen and maybe a bit more generous.
Yes.
Yeah, as an audience, whereas a comedy audience can be a bit like, right, make me laugh.
No, what happened, I don't think they're necessarily more forgiving than other audiences.
Poetry audiences.
Yeah, poetry, spoken word audiences.
Yeah.
I think that I had been doing comedy for only 3 months, and in retrospect, I had not done that amazing with the spoken word audiences. But the jokes I did that time when Alex saw me were the one that had done the best there.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, I thought it was the new Chris Rock. That, in my head. I think I was really too confident at that point. And I just got there and just started doing the jokes. And I had never really bombed before. I never really failed on stage. It was the first time I really failed on stage.
Yeah.
And I didn't know how to manage it. I didn't know what to do when it's not working, and I didn't have any other jokes, because at the time, I got on stage with, like, let's say 5 minutes of jokes, and that's all I had, and it was pre-planned, and it was no other word I had. So I had to keep telling those bad jokes until the bitter end.
I see. How does it feel, then, when you go up and you start doing your material and you realize that no one's laughing? When do you realize it's gone bad?
Now or back then?
At any time.
Now, 10 seconds in.
Really?
Yeah.
10 seconds in?
Yeah.
Okay, and
almost immediately you can tell.
What is it that tells you? How do you know?
People don't react to you. Uh-huh. You're a person on stage telling what you think are humorous things.
Yeah.
And it's not necessarily that they're not laughing, because you don't necessarily start, depending on your style, you don't necessarily start with jokes right away. But, you know, at least they are listening to you, or they're engaged.
Mm.
And when you get on stage and you feel that you're not connecting, very quickly, you feel that, I'm losing them.
Yeah.
Now, with a little more experience, you learn how to get out of that hole, or to, you know, you say, that was one joke that didn't work, but it doesn't mean they hate me. Because that's also another thing that happens, I think, when you start is that you think, it's me. They just hate me. It's like, no, it's just that you're not funny, which is not the worst thing. You might be funny in the next 10 seconds, so keep doing it until they laugh. And if they don't, go back and rewrite your stuff or figure out why it didn't work.
But don't take it too personally.
Yeah, no. It's never really personal. It's really rare that it gets personal.
See, the thing is, I think that why it's important not to take it too personally is because if it goes badly and you take it personally, you feel bad about yourself. You feel like a horrible person, right?
Yeah.
We've all been there.
Yeah,
doing comedy and failing, you just feel a wretched human being.
Yes.
Nobody loves me. I'm useless. I've got no value. That's how it feels for everyone when they bomb.
Yes.
But also, when you do really well, you shouldn't take it personally either.
Exactly.
Because otherwise, you'll come off and you'll think, I am the greatest person. I am so flipping wonderful right now.
With my $1 million contract.
Exactly.
Where is it?
I am so great. You know, you're not worthy of, like, you know, 5 minutes. Do you know who I am? You know, then, so you shouldn't take it personally in either context. You know?
Yeah, that is true. Yeah. That is very true. Yeah.
A common thing I always hear from, like, comedians who bomb... So Fred, no. Comedians who bomb after shows. I bomb all the time. Is that... the crowd was so blah, right?
Yeah. I mean, the crowd... Oh, terrible, terrible crowd. Totally terrible.
They're really tough in there. It's like, no, they're not.
It's, like, it's a bad habit to always... Because it's supposed to be at the end of the day, like, the funniest comedian, no matter the crowd, will always win them over, no matter what.
Yeah.
And so if you end up depending your set on random individuals, like, that's too... That's something you can't control, so it's... But
that's
a lot of
hubris.
It's hubris. So I don't like that.
You mean blaming the audience? Yeah, you
and
can't,
it's the can't. I'm so great. How come this crowd doesn't like? I'm a genius. How dare you?
Not understand.
Who probably has more money than me. How dare you not appreciate my genius?
Right. Right. Yeah. 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 It's but you know, in comedy, a lot of people go into doing comedy for personal reasons, and it is, you know, it is a very personal thing because you go out there and you expose yourself and you're telling people true things, or at least kind of vaguely true things about yourself. And if they laugh, then you feel your ego has been rubbed, and if they don't laugh, then you feel like, you know, they've just done a poo on you or something.
Yeah, that's graphic. But yes.
I didn't mean it to be that. Just, you know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean. It was metaphorical.
But it's a very accurate way to describe it, that it feels like people do that on you.
You know, some people choose for that to happen.
Yeah.
You know, some people like that.
Yeah, I feel that's another podcast.
That's another. Sorry, I didn't mean, you know.
Luke After Dark.
Yeah, I didn't mean to drag this into a whole new area of conversation there. That's not what's on the table for this discussion. Okay, do you feel like we've got to know Alex a little bit now, Fred?
Yeah, I think we have. I think we know Alex a little more, his background, his motivations, his life as a comic. Yes. We know Alex.
All right. Okay. All right, good. Now then, what is on the table, Alex?
I love games.
Paper.
Yeah? And is there anything else on the table?
Cups, dreams, fun.
Yeah.
Phones, a plant, pen. Ray-Ban sunglasses.
By the way, listeners, this isn't the game. It's not just let's name some things that are on a table. They're fake Ray-Ban sunglasses.
Yeah, that's what I checked.
Yeah, that's right. Because I always buy fake sunglasses.
Hmm. Okay.
My wife always buys the proper Ray-Bans. She's had the same pair of Ray-Ban sunglasses for 10 years.
Whoa.
Wow. Yeah, that's a world record. How
amazing. Impressive to not
that.
Lose them.
She's very impressed. She's a very impressive person in that way.
You chose
Yeah, that's the only way. No, it's not really. it's not the only way. But no, she is very good at that kind of thing. Whereas for me, I cannot have genuine Ray-Ban sunglasses.
Oh, because you're going to lose them.
I will lose them.
But
yeah,
I'm going to be a little bit annoying for a second, but I think it's not good to buy fake sunglasses.
You're probably right. Yeah.
Because
I'm what? I'm a bad person, right?
No, it's not that. You might be hurting your eyes.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, because what happens is that because it's sunglasses and the glass is darker, your eye reacts and in a way opens up.
Yeah.
I think the pupil and the iris open up.
It dilates.
They dilate, exactly. Yeah. So they let more light in.
Yeah.
But usually sunglass, like good sunglass, has classic UV protection.
Yeah.
And bad sunglass might not.
I see. So?
So the eyes open up, but if the protection is not there, you might...
You're basically inviting more radiation into your brain, into your face.
Can I have a counter-argument?
Yeah.
Yes.
The counter-argument is, what hurts more, losing your eyesight or losing the money in your wallet?
Or what hurts more also, losing your eyesight and a little bit of money, €5, or just not looking cool?
Oh. Yeah.
Because you could walk around without them.
This is Paris. You gotta look cool.
Oh, I don't. We missed that memo.
By the way, I don't think I look cool with my fake Ray-Bans on at all.
In Paris, you'd rather be blind and cool than
I think those are the rules for Paris, aren't they? You have to be blind and cool.
At the immigration office, it was like, do you have sunglasses? Maybe. Get out of here.
I don't mean you need to be blind, like actually blind, but I mean you just have to, let's say blindly cool, meaning, meaning that cool is the most important thing in this town.
It's very
like,
cool.
It's like living in a nightclub. You know? It's like living in a nightclub with a dress code.
Yeah, pretty much.
You like you come into Paris and like you can't come in. Well, not with those shoes.
If you don't have any black pants, you need to go home.
You're not wearing sunglasses at night. What is wrong with you?
You need a jacket, or you can't be here in this city.
That is true.
Yeah,
that's very true.
That's right. Okay, so on the table there are a number of things, including a couple of objects that we just mentioned, but also there's a little pile of I'm calling them cards. They're actually made of paper. Yeah. And these are the items that I've put on the table for discussion here, okay?
Okay.
By the way, these are just topics that... These are things that we actually talked about. Fred and me, we talked about these things a little bit. So we're prepared. We chose... let's choose some topics that Alex can't talk about convincingly.
Oh, great.
No, I'm just joking. So just some things that Fred and I thought might be interesting sources of discussion. And I think what we'll do is we'll flip them over... and we'll just have a little chat about them. What I'd like to try and do is get to some sort of conclusion in the in our discussion before we move on to the next one. Let's see if we can do that.
Yeah, if we go one by one?
Let's go one by one.
Okay, let's go. Let's
so, Fred, do you want to flip over the first one, please?
Let's go.
I'm nervous.
Wait a minute. Let me just capture the sound effects of the paper being turned over.
Okay.
Wonderful.
Wow.
Wonderful.
Big budget. Okay.
So the first... should I?
Yeah, go on.
The first subject is English. Where did you get yours?
Where did you get your English? You may have answered that question already, but we can run through it again.
Sure.
Do you want to start, Alex?
Quick recap then. I mostly got my English from living in San Francisco from 4 to 14 and having American friends and watching American TV shows and even maybe English comedy. So.
Are you a native speaker then?
Yeah, it's my first language.
Yeah. Okay.
Which is strange, but it is.
So you got it just like in the same way as other native speakers did.
Yes.
You're going to say something, Fred?
No, but Singapore is mostly English speaking.
Well, I mean, Singapore, since it has like 800 different kinds of nationalities, but I guess primarily is English, but there's a lot of Chinese, there's Hindi, there's Malaysian, there's everything.
Okay. Yeah, but then for school, you started school in San Francisco then? Or did you start in Singapore?
I think more in San Francisco.
I'm almost as confused as him now.
No, just to be curious.
Basically, you picked it up in as a kid, like most people do, right? Yeah, that's the thing. Moving to Indonesia, did you? Your parents? Do they both speak English? Do they?
Yes.
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 Okay. My next question: what do they speak between like themselves?
Sign language. No, I'm kidding.
Just to confuse you even more.
Yeah, exactly.
Uh-huh.
One more language to learn.
English.
English.
English. Right. Okay, fine. Good. We're done with you then, Alex. Can you return the question? Fred, we know how you picked up English, don't we?
Yeah.
Second language?
Second language.
Second language.
Episode 430. So mainly because in part... I come from Cameroon, and Cameroon has two national languages, French and English. Mm-hmm. But I lived in the French-speaking part of the country, but I also had access, because it's a national language, to English lessons ever since I was 4 years old. And then I kept learning. Eventually, when I moved to France, I went to a very international school where I mostly spoke English.
Okay.
And then... American culture, English culture just helped it.
You said also on the podcast before that English is also something that you actively have worked on as well as just something that happened to you as a kid.
Yeah, exactly.
It's something you've actively worked on in various ways.
Yeah, like between like 16 and 18. And 16 and 19, I actively try to make it better.
Okay.
Yeah.
We talked about it before.
Yeah.
Okay. I remember... because I was listening to you guys' podcast before.
Thank you so much.
Because I had to... It was weird because I was listening to that while working out, which was very strange.
Wait, you were listening to that while working out?
Yeah. So I was doing push-ups and then I was like struggling, and then Luke's voice is going like, "So what did we learn today?" And I was like, "What am I doing with my body?" But this is not the motivational music I wanted.
Some people do exercise while listening to this,
and so I was nervous because I was listening to Fred, and then I was reading the comments on your website, and
those harsh, beautiful
beautiful people who
my
are
listeners
like,
are very nice.
I should read the comments. I never did,
and they're like, "This is the most helpful podcast. These great lessons and stuff." And I was like, "Oh God, I'm an English speaker. Like, I'm not gonna have useful tips like him reading the transcripts of like a CD or something."
I was born this way.
He was born this way. And so I was like, "Oh God, how?" Because I really want to help out if I could, like the English listeners of this podcast. But basically, what I'm trying to say is I'm very intimidated by Fred's helpfulness.
Yeah, you're not helpful at all, Alex. Good. I mean, if anything, you're making it worse.
I did bring mangoes, so take that back.
Yeah, he did bring mangoes.
take that back.
Yep.
Is that 1 point for Fred because he's more helpful for English learners?
I think if he gives me the point, I guess.
I kind of.
But thing is, though, Alex, you've got this American accent and everything, let me move on to the next card. I feel like we concluded that by talking about how you got your English. Alex, can you flip over the next card? Okay.
Accents. What do they mean to you?
Bad jokes.
Accents. What do they mean to you? Now, I was trying to find a question about accents that would be, you know, a good intro to the conversation. But accents. What do they mean to you? It's a very big subject. Can we talk about your accents first? What is your accent, Alex?
Mine tends to be more American.
Is there a particular kind of American accent that you have?
Not really, because I feel like. Because really rare moments, sometimes at the end of a sentence, I might have some, like, I'm not from America accent, which isn't necessarily French or anything. It's just, like, some weird thing. But it's people who say it to me, like, that was a random accent I've never heard of.
So every now and then your accent deviates from what people would consider to be your normal.
Associate with me, yes.
They think, so sometimes you don't sound completely American. That's what they mean.
But just, like, one word out of, like... 20 sometimes
every now and then,
but then the accent that comes out it's not like, oh, that's a German accent, that's an American, that's an Italian accent. It's just like, since I guess I've grown up in many places, it's just like a mishmash.
Wait a minute, let me just check that.
That's a mix match.
A mix match.
I am helpful English words. Mix.
Yeah, a mix match.
Mix match.
M-I-X-M-A-T-C-H. Or also a mishmash, which I think is a nice word.
Mishmash.
Mishmash, one word. A confused mixture. A confused mixture, which is appropriate.
That is appropriate.
Are you a mishmash?
I don't mean to label you as...
I am a potato, yes.
I don't mean to label you as a mishmash, but... So people are like, oh, what was that word? And it's like, it's just a mishmash of different accents because...
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
You speak three languages. Or do you speak more?
I speak French, English fluently.
Yeah.
But... I think in English primarily, except when I play tennis, I swear in French. It's random.
Wait, you swear in French?
When I play tennis. Exclusively when I play tennis.
Only on the tennis court?
Oh, yeah. That's interesting.
Okay, and in other environments, you swear?
If I stub my toe against the table.
Good, then bring the table back into
on this. Shelf.
That's a callback.
Callback.
Very good.
Call me back. I will swear in English, which is weird. But
okay. How about this? If there was a... You're playing tennis and there's a table on the tennis. What if you're playing table tennis?
Then I swear in Chinese. I don't know.
Okay.
I think I swear in French because I guess whenever I play tennis, I've always played against my dad and he would swear at me in French. not at me, like, hey, what's your problem? But, like, if he misses a point, you'll swear in French. Like, oh, I want to be just like my dad. So I'll swear back at him in French. But
that's it. I see. Okay. So on the tennis court, that's where you were exposed to French swear words.
Yes.
And so that's where they come out again. It's a psychological...
Fascinating.
It's absolutely fascinating.
So therapy will be after this show.
Yeah. Yeah. You can leave the 60 euros on the table when you leave.
Exactly.
So, all right. That. What about Fred? Yeah. What about what's your accent then, Fred?
My accent is American-like.
American.
Well, I say that because people who meet me and don't know where I'm from sometimes, most of the time, think I'm American when they hear me speaking. So,
yeah,
that's the one. Mostly because of the American culture I've been exposed to. That's the English I've heard the most. So that's the one that comes more naturally to me.
You never actually lived in the States, though, did you?
No, never.
So it's you've just been exposed to American culture through
TV, movies.
That was one of those questions where you don't ask a question, you just start a sentence, and then you just expect the other person to continue.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you've been, you know, it's the sort of thing a teacher would do. So you've been exposed to American culture through
TV, movies, mainly. Later, podcasts, a lot of podcasts, and comedy.
Yeah. You can hear, ladies and gents, that's when I say that, it means the audience, right? obviously, because there are no ladies or gentlemen in this room.
Oh.
Imagine if there were just ladies and gentlemen just having like a cocktail party over there.
Silently.
Yeah. So you can hear in the way that Fred says podcast.
Podcast.
Say it again.
Podcast.
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 Yeah, you definitely
have podcast. Podcast.
I don't say podcast.
I say podcast.
Podcast.
In the north of England, podcast.
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 Podcast. And in America, podcast.
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 You're listening to Luke's English Podcast.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's how I will introduce
the BBC.
That's not program. What did you say?
The BBC. That's bad.
That is, where's that from?
That's a Luke reference. I'm trying to come back to his comedy.
Okay. So you're exposed to American English through films and TV.
Yeah.
So really, it just you got your English accent, your American accent from that then?
Eh? Yes, exactly. Just replicating what was in front of me.
Replicating? Were you repeating stuff?
Yeah. At one point you have to, so yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Repeating stuff and I think it's just natural. The way you hear a word, that's the way you say it. And I mean I've been exposed to, let's say, a more generic American accent, you know, not very regionalized, like Southern accent, or I don't know,
you weren't watching exclusively Italian American films.
Exactly.
It was just, hey, how you doing? Hey, get some bread, just go and get some fucking paper, man. You got a table, you got a fucking table here. What's the matter with you?
As an Italian, that's offensive.
Italian American.
Oh, sorry, it's different.
Hey, what's the matter? You know, that's obviously how Italian Americans speak, right?
Exactly.
Hey, what's your fucking problem? You got some fucking paper on the fucking table. Is that American or is that an American Italian American?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I can't say the word lesbian, but you can say fucking three times.
Yes.
Good.
Yeah.
He's the boss. Sorry.
Yeah.
You can say
I'm joking.
You can say whatever you want, Alex.
Okay.
You can say whatever you want, Alex. Just relax. Just
that reminds me of an actor. Anyway,
who?
I don't know which one. I feel like I heard it in a movie.
Man, this guy had a voice. Look, boys, gather around the table. I wanted to have a meeting with you guys. We got some pieces of paper over here.
That's a very old Marlon Brando. Maybe
it's a sort of a mafia boss. I think.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a character I've been working on.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so accents. When you hear different accents, what do they mean to you? When you hear them, all right? So, I mean, let's see. How many different accents can you name or identify? Let's start with that.
Ooh.
Just call back to your old podcast together. A common theme during the last one with Fred was the fact that Fred couldn't do any accents.
Yeah.
And he kept trying, and it was just like, stop.
Fred can't do any accents.
I can't really do any accents.
No. Okay.
Accurately.
All right.
For very long.
How are you at identifying accents? Let's say you meet someone, and they start speaking. How quick are you able to identify, exactly where they're from?
I'm not very good.
Really?
It might be because it's my second language, but the very well-known ones, English, maybe German now, because I've been more exposed to German, or Spanish,
yeah-ish.
Spanish, Portuguese, maybe Italian. Like, I will, okay, like Latin languages.
Yeah,
I mean, you just named like 10 countries, so yeah, you're pretty, exactly, good at it.
That's what he.
Yeah. No, but I mean, like, there's a ton of them. Like, I wouldn't know what Northern Irish, okay, if I hear it, or Irish, or I mean, I could try to guess, but I couldn't be like, oh, this is an Irish person. Yeah. Definitely.
Okay. All right.
I get slightly better at it with time.
What about you, Alex?
Well, I'm going to Northern Ireland at the end of October, so I'll come back and say that to your
face.
Wow.
What are you doing in Northern Ireland?
I have a friend who lives there for medical studies, and he graduated, so I was like, okay, I'll be a good friend.
Where does he live exactly? Do you know?
In Belfast.
Oh, right. Ah, grand.
And so I want to do comedy there.
That's Southern Ireland. It's a republic. Ah, it's grand. Republic. Dead on.
Dead on.
Spotty dog.
I can't compete. Wait, that's so too good.
Which one is that?
For that example? One's Northern Ireland. That's Northern Ireland. Oh. You know, the only way I can do Northern Ireland or Belfast is if I have to swear while I'm speaking. Because I used to live with the guys from Northern Ireland, and they, well, we were students, you know, in a student house. So everyone's like swearing all the time. It's, you know, because there's a time and a place for it, right?
Yeah.
You know, in a business meeting is not the time or place, but in a, in a student house at 2 a.m. on a Friday,
yeah,
is definitely, there's the no time better or place. Place. So I can do it if I'm swearing, but it means I end up being foul-mouthed.
Yeah.
Anyway, you're going to Northern Ireland.
Yeah, so I was wondering if I can perform there, if I'm just going to make either a reference to, of course, Liam Neeson, or I found out that, I guess maybe their biggest museum has to do with the Titanic.
Yeah.
So I was wondering if it just, like, your most famous thing is about something that failed, but but that might be a bit rude from someone who's visiting.
Depends on what you mean by failed, because maybe they set out to create a boat that would sink famously.
We'll make money from this in 100 years. We'll
right.
What a plan!
I guess a lot. Yeah. Okay. All right then. So basically, but are you good at identifying
accents? To answer the answer, I think. Since I guess I have multiple backgrounds, so I guess I have a better time recognizing, say, different kinds of Asian accents, mm-hmm, and different kinds of European accents. Maybe not like the particulars of like Bulgaria versus Hungary, but like at least, you know, Western or classic bigger European countries.
Yeah.
And then since I guess I grew up in America as well. Since, of course, America is a amalgamation, is that a word?
Yeah, that'll do. A mishmash.
A mishmash. Potato smash. Of different cultures. And especially going back to San Francisco, since there's so many different kinds of people there. So I think I can recognize a lot of accents, yeah.
Okay, what about in the UK? Because we've got loads of different accents.
Yep.
Can you identify them?
Cockney.
All right, mate. All right, Gacy, how you doing? All right, you all right there? You've got a nice table in front of you. It's a nice table, isn't it, this? It's nice, lovely, nice bit of table, nice bit of wood, that is.
Well, whenever I talk to you, I think at least once per conversation, I will slip in a, hello, governor, to see your reaction.
Yeah.
But,
I know. That's what all Americans
governor,
do.
Governor.
They always go, pip, pip, governor, let's have some tea, you know, or something like that. All right, how about this one? All right, mate, how's it going? Do you like this table? It's quite nice, isn't it? Like a nice table. It's made of wood. And if you want, I'll make you a cup of tea later on if you fancy. We had a lovely mango earlier. That was lovely, that was. Any idea where that's from? That's amazing.
That's amazing.
All right.
Is that Scottish?
No.
See?
What about... you know what, right?
Is that Scottish?
No. This is the same accent, but I'm trying to do an impression of someone now. That was meant to be Ozzy Osbourne.
Oh.
Birmingham. Oh,
no. Okay.
I think I can maybe sort of do an intonation of a Liverpool accent. Maybe.
Yeah?
And it's only because of a football player named Steven Gerrard.
Oh, yes.
Whenever he plays for Liverpool, or he used to play for Liverpool FC, And he used to always, in his interviews, he'd go, the football, I can't do it, but just especially the
football, he's from fucking Brooklyn.
Brooklyn. What struck me the most is the
that's right.
Gotta get it, or whatever. The Copland, you know.
Yeah, yeah. No, you're right, because nice. In Liverpool, they do go,
the thing is, right, this table, Anfield, it's like it's made of wood and all that's great, isn't it, this table? That. We've gone out there. We've done our best. You know, we've just let my feet do the talking.
Jamie Carragher.
Yeah, that's Liverpool. So yeah, definitely. Instead of and them in the Spanish.
That's funny. I never thought about that.
I don't know what's the link between the Scouse and the Spanish, but there's a strong connection.
Some royal family married each other back in the day.
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably.
Okay, I think we're going to move on from accents. Because yeah. I mean, I could talk about that until the cows come home. But we'll move on. I'm flipping this one over. Listen to this, folks.
Paper.
Hey-o.
Oh my god! This is Fred's suggestion, so yes. Don't blame me. It says,
"Oh god!"
And you know we're not supposed to discuss religion and politics in this kind of situation, but let's just do it anyway.
There's no situation,
yeah,
where you should.
So, religious backgrounds, how do they affect you? Religious backgrounds, how do they affect? How do they affect you? I'll start. Right. So I come from a Church of England background. So I was christened as a child. I was baptized into the Anglican Church. That's just what my family, that's the origin, you know, that my family comes from. And Anglicanism is a sort of Protestant Christianity. And I went to church when I was a kid. And we used to go to Sunday school on Sundays. And, you know, we used to sing religious hymns at school and stuff like that. And then, I don't know what point it happened, but we just stopped going to church.
And you all stopped.
Yeah. I don't know quite why. I think we all just basically decided that we weren't really religious anymore. And I don't really think I'm a religious person these days.
Just fizzled out.
I don't know. It's complicated to get into it, but in the end, we sort of just stopped being religious. I don't know if I'm an agnostic or if I'm an atheist. I think that means I'm an agnostic, if I'm not, if I'm not sure. The bottom line for me, right, is that people can do what they want, they can think what they want, but they can't make me think it too.
Exactly.
You know, so if they start trying to force me to think and act in a certain way, that's when it starts getting sketchy and wrong. But they're starting to force other people or push their belief system onto other people, that's when it starts to get a little sketchy. But people should be free to believe and practice the religion that they want.
I think it can also be the same kind of mentality, which I agree with, but the other way around, because a lot of times people complain about, like, oh, I'm tired of religious people trying to blah 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 enforce things onto me, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like a lot of times what people forget is, like, an atheist person or an agnostic person will be like, oh my god, how could you ever believe in there's something in the sky? What is wrong with it? It's pretty rude. Like, most of the planet is are religious people, so it's like, it goes both ways. You can't accept, you can't be like, I want this, but then not want, like,
reciprocate.
You said that word earlier.
It's one of those things that is just, that always seems a little complicated. And and you're walking on, like, a very
thin ice.
And very thin ice, exactly.
Yeah.
Great expression. And
thanks.
Luke invented it.
But in the other way, for me, I feel that it's because it's something very, it's felt as something very personal.
Yeah.
Very, very personal. Yeah. And that still has an immense influence on how we live our lives. Holidays, or, like, just the way societies are organized all around the world sometimes revolve around which religion is the most influent in that place. And I was more curious to see how for you, I don't know, or for me anyway, discuss just the way religion pushed us in some way in life, or the way we adapt to this complicated thing.
Because for me, like, when I was thinking about it, I was like, oh, I'm going to talk about religion and it's going to be recorded. So that's not...
Yes, you're being recorded.
Yeah, that's not good at all.
I don't know you, Fred.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't know. Who are you?
Who's this radical? Let's
what are you
get
doing
out
in my apartment?
Yeah, but at the same time, it's still this thing you... It's just one of the subjects... You at one point you have to be yourself a little bit.
Yeah, but I mean, should I be broaching the subject on an episode of my podcast for learners, my entertaining podcast for learners of English? Yeah. Is this the
besides you have people from all over the world?
I have people from all over the world who I have people in who could be offended in many countries.
Yes, exactly. But
the thing for me is I'm thinking, is this the platform where I need to settle the old story of religion?
The goal was not to offend, really.
No, of course not. No, we're not.
It was more to, I mean, I guess that's what this ended up being. A conversation about how complicated it can be, but how important, I think.
I think it's unfortunate that, like, the questions like, how does the religion affect you? And instead of talking about like, oh, you know, it brings me inner peace, or I respect people who do this and that, our number one go-to default is I don't want to offend people, but
right.
Instead of what I guess that originally what the point of religion was, is to, you know, self-help and, you know, care for others. But nowadays, since we're all, you know,
in this world,
unfortunately, we're all very scared of each other in a sense. When I guess religion, in theory, is supposed to unite people.
Yeah.
But now we're just super scared of each other.
Yeah. Do you guys have a religious background?
Yeah, I was raised Catholic. Yeah. So I was baptized, I got the communion, confirmation.
Yeah. It was confirmed. Like, yep, he's Catholic. Yep.
There's put water on his head.
Catholic stamp on his forehead.
Confirmation.
Exactly. So I have a very religious background, and I still have religious parents.
Yeah.
I think they don't go as much to church as they did before, but they're still quite religious.
Yeah.
And I'm a little less now. And I still feel undecided, even though in my daily practice there's no religion, really. But in terms of, like, philosophically, it's... I think I just like the question more than the, like, trying to find the answer.
Yeah, no, it's a fascinating question. I think it's a totally fascinating subject. And you're right, you know, we should be able to just talk about it in any way without fear of offending everyone. You know, like, we're all grown-ups. We can talk about these things, can't we? Yeah, I think so. Mm-hmm. What about you, Alex? Do you have a religious background?
I grew up with a Catholic background as well, as the majority of the Philippines is Catholic. The thing is, my family, most of my Filipino family grew up in, or when I was alive, or I am alive.
Yeah, you are alive.
I think.
Spoiler, he's a ghost.
Is he alive?
He's been a ghost the whole time.
I'm dead inside, but I'm alive. most of my Filipino family live in San Francisco, or the Bay Area, the region surrounding San Francisco. And so I remember in the beginning, I'd sometimes go to church, but then randomly they would stop as well. And then I remember having points, like at least a couple times I went to like a Mormon church, but
a Mormon church, eh?
Yeah, but that was like literally three times. And I went to like Mormon Sunday school or Wednesday school or whatever it was. But then I often wonder, I'm
going to sound very ignorant here, but I often wonder what the difference between Mormonism and just sort of like other types of Christianity. Apparently it's they go to church on Wednesdays.
I don't know if that was just like, this building is free on Wednesday or it's Wednesday.
Okay.
Right. But it was just, I don't know anything about it much except that, the South Park guys wrote a great musical on them.
It's mainly an American thing, isn't it? Mormonism.
Yeah, it's based.
It's exclusively in the United States, I think.
But probably not.
I don't think it's
almost exclusively. I would guess.
I don't think.
It started off in like the center of America in Utah, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Salt Lake City.
Salt Lake. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I am Catholic by. I was raised with a Catholic background.
Yeah.
But
Like a picture kind of Jesus on the wall behind you.
Yeah, that was a joke.
Mary.
Catholic background. Did you get it? Don't laugh, please.
I refuse to laugh.
Yeah. Well done, Alex. He passed the test. Another point. One more point to Alex.
3-1.
Because he didn't laugh at that joke. Is it 3-1 now?
No, it's 3-2.
3-2.
Oh, I get the point for being helpful.
That's right. You got a point for being helpful to English learners.
Exactly.
3-2.
You're welcome.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. You can thank Fred later, ladies and gentlemen. Okay. We're done with religion now.
Yeah.
As a topic of discussion.
Exactly.
Fine.
Right.
Woo.
We've got two more cards left. Three more. Fred, it's your turn.
Cards against.
Oh, by the way, we didn't conclude that. The conclusion is, you know, just it's be cool, man.
Yeah.
Be cool, man.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah.
Be cool and yeah, I think what Alex said was great. It shouldn't be about division and more about unity. I think that was great.
Yeah, yeah. It's just all just love each other, man. And
love each other, man.
Yeah, it's a beautiful
thing.
It was a really delicious mango. That's the conclusion.
But that was a religious mango, so yeah. It's divisive.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, right. Done. Next. Good. Let's. Okay. What's this one?
This one is film reboots.
Right.
Reboot.
You need to explain what a film reboot is.
A film reboot is when, for example, there's a movie called, I can't remember any reboot.
What, Blade Runner? Is that a reboot?
Blade Runner is a reboot.
It's a sequel.
Yeah, it's a sequel, technically. Okay. So, Total Recall.
Total Recall. Total Recall.
Total Recall.
Carrie,
for example. So, basically...
Stick with Total Recall.
Total Recall. So, yeah. There's a movie that's made once in the 90s. And then 20 years later, people decide to do the same movie again, not a sequel, which continues the story, but to retell the story of the original movie again with new actors, new director, a new team, basically. Mm-hmm. Usually because it's a famous movie that people recognize.
I just want to establish which film Total Recall is, because it might have a different name in other countries.
Yes, Total Recall is a movie originally with Arnold Schwarzenegger and in the reboot with Colin Farrell.
Yeah.
Irish.
Top of the morning to you.
Exactly. In which a man is put inside a machine... that's supposed to give him fake memories, some kind of entertainment in a futuristic world.
Yeah.
And while he's in the machine, some people come out and try to kill him. And it goes in. There's a whole thing about the mission and trying to save himself and discovering the truth. It's like, is he really in the machine? Is he having fake memories? It's kind of a...
Either they've successfully implanted these... This kind of simulation into his brain where he... 'cause he goes in and chooses to... have a kind of a fake experience, a simulation. He wants to imagine that he's a spy on a mission to Mars.
Exactly. Right?
And he goes in and they put him in the machine and the simulation begins. And then it begins in such a way as to make it unclear whether it's a genuine simulation or whether the machine has gone wrong and unlocked old memories that he had. So there's two potential versions of events. Either he was a spy from earlier on in his life,
yeah, exactly.
But his memory was erased and he was and replaced by new memories, and he forgot that he was a spy, or the game is just working and they've created this set of events where he is a spy now and he's going to Mars. So we're never really sure whether he was a spy originally and the machine just uncovered those old memories or whether it's just a simulation.
Exactly.
Yeah. And Arnold Schwarzenegger goes a lot.
On Mars.
Yeah.
he's vomiting because he's on Mars. He hasn't adapted yet. So.
Mm-hmm. Very strange atmosphere.
There's a scene in the movie where, because on Mars, you know, the atmosphere, in the movie, the atmosphere is, unsustainable for human life. And if you go out into the atmosphere, then basically what happens in the movie is that your eyes pop out of your head and your tongue sticks out and you die a horrible death. And, and there's a bit in the movie where Schwarzenegger... I think it's a dream, this bit, that he kind of crashes out of a window onto the side of a mountain in Mars, and he's going,
world!
In like classic that. Arnold way.
Yeah, and his eyes are popping out, and it's just hilarious.
And that was the governor of California.
Yep.
Yeah, well,
good times.
Yeah. Yeah, so, reboot. They rebooted it with Colin Farrell.
And also Kate Beckinsale.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, so yeah, usually they do it because it's a property, intellectual property. So it's a movie, usually, that people know very well.
For example,
so,
20th Century Fox have got the rights to Total Recall. They're like, guys, we've got the rights to Total Recall.
They're sleeping in a drawer. We might as well use them. So instead of, basically, the classic argument is, instead of doing new movies, they just rehash. It's like they do it again.
Yeah.
Those movies that have been successful before.
Okay.
And usually they're not good.
Really?
Yeah. The new Total Recall was not interesting in any fashion.
So is the question here, reboots, are they good or bad? Is that the question then? Good or bad thing, reboot. Hollywood reboots, are they good or bad?
I would say it's out of control.
They're out of control?
Yes.
But are they good or bad?
No, they're mostly bad.
Uh-huh.
The concept is not bad, but the way it's done now, it's terrible.
They're doing it because they don't have any imagination, or there aren't many new ideas left, and also because they need a safe bet. They need a safe...
I agree more with the safe bet thing. I mean, there are new ideas. There are great tons of new ideas and movies still out, but... Usually there are smaller movies with less money, et cetera, et cetera, which should be publicized more. But instead, all the money is put into these well-known properties, and they just give bad movies to people until the property loses all its value, and they just dump it in the garbage.
So they do it because it's like a guaranteed way of selling tickets, right?
Exactly.
Because they're like, well, this movie worked before, it's going to work again.
Exactly.
Come on, you know.
It's like, it was funny in 92, whichever year Total Recall was. They just do another one again. People know this name, they'll recognize it.
Look. You enjoy Total Recall in 1992, it's time to enjoy it again.
Exactly, that's basically it.
It's our anniversary, let's go.
Yeah, and it's just stretching it too much.
Right.
Way too much.
And they ruin the original movie in a sense. They spoil it by kind of tainting it with a new version.
I wouldn't say that. I would just say that they wasted my time and money.
Right.
And their time and money.
You got to stop going to see them then.
So in the beginning I thought like Fred, but now since I want to win this imaginary game that we're playing, I disagree. Just because there's always a new generation of people who haven't seen these iconic movies, right? And then, you know, a younger person, are they very likely to watch a 1930s Citizen Kane or like the newest version of it? They're going to watch, I know I'm going to maybe be more likely to go to a newer version of it because I'm more familiar with a newer setting, right?
Yeah.
And then also, like, we complain about how, like, oh, reboots are ruining movies and stuff, but they're the ones making money. And if we wanted to actually make a difference, we'd actually support the new concepts.
No,
but then Valerian would come out, and then that's a new concept, and
that's
it bombed.
Movie. Yeah, but the thing, I think
Valerian's a terrible movie.
Valerian's terrible. It bombed because it's terrible.
Yeah.
But a lot of the reboots, let's see, they make money not because they're good films. They make money because they've controlled the marketing side of things. But it's not about making a decent film anymore. It's about making a product that's going to sell money, and they guarantee that they'll get the ticket sales by doing like certain things. Like, for example, one of them is they have a type of movie that, you know, people have seen before and they like want to see it again. That's part of it. But the other part is that they do things like they don't show it to the press. You know, or they show it to certain journalists who aren't objective.
Yes.
And they get these fake reviews. It's totally fake. They're fake reviews.
That's pretty good.
Sad.
It's totally sad. They're destroying
jobs.
Movies. I watched Total Recall.
We're the best at making reboots.
I'm not a great fan of Arnold. We've got our differences, but it was a great movie. And then they ruined it. with Colin Farrell. He's a terrible actor.
He's not even American.
He's totally Irish. He's not American. So they screen it to journalists who are sort of not totally objective, and journalists who then give them, you know, they give lots of special treat. They give treatment to the journalists. They give them gifts. They make them feel special. They invite them into special press screenings. The journalists then feel sort of obliged to write nice things about the movie. You know, that, and all these things are important. These reviews come out at the beginning. Then Rotten Tomatoes shows the movie with 100%. a high score, and people are like, hey, Rotten Tomatoes, it's good. Let's go and see it.
Yeah.
And then it turns out it's a piece of crap.
Yeah, exactly.
But I mean, I think there's just enough good movies to balance it out. Like, if your life is like, oh my god, reboots are ruining my life, like, you need to reevaluate.
No, that's not the point.
There's like a lot of good movies out there where it's like, I can go to some theater with 30 people in it.
I mean, you had a lot of opinions about Star Wars, but
yes.
Wait, you had opinions about Star Wars?
I'm gonna have to sleep over here. It's too long.
I find your lack of faith disturbing. No, I don't mind. I don't care. I don't care really that much.
No, like for example, I'm trying to think about a good reboot.
I didn't see the movie, but apparently Beauty and the Beast, at least the live action,
it's not good.
Well, I heard it was good. The thing is, you're like a really insane movie critic person.
No, I do watch a lot of movies, but it's not good. It's sticking an original idea, and I just feel that the things it's changing are just baffling.
I think it's just the intention with which they made the film. These people aren't making Total Recall, the reboot, because they're trying to express an idea. They're doing it because they think it's going to make money, and it's not filmmaking. Yeah, exactly. It's something else.
I mean, of course, movies are products and should make money. It's good that movies make money, but if they only there to make money, the reason why they're doing all these, talking about Disney, all these live action movies is because, once again, it's I watched Beauty and the Beast when I was 4 years old, and now I want to watch it again, but now better
with Emma Watson in it.
With Emma Watson in it, and the Beast. And personally, I watched both versions, and the old one is better. First, it's 80 minutes long, which is perfect for a movie about a beauty and a beast. Not 2 hours, but anyway.
I have to take issue with your use of Citizen Kane as an example as well, Alex, because if they rebooted Citizen Kane, it's not a bad idea because it's a good story. But the thing about Citizen Kane is that one of the reasons it's so great is because it sort of, to an extent, invented the language of cinema, you know?
I said Citizen Kane as an old movie. Of
just
course
as an
Kane
example.
As a,
okay. But, you know, it didn't mean it exactly like that.
It actually came out in the 40s, not in the 30s.
But I think that's part of the thing, though, that we should appreciate certain movies in their original form, because understanding the context in which they were made helps you to appreciate how great they are.
Yeah.
And something like Citizen Kane, where you see all these things being done with the camera, you start to appreciate the art and craft of making a film.
Yeah.
And so I think it would be great if people could watch Citizen Kane again, if young people got the chance to see it properly, and that they did actually see it, and that we were in a context in which they could understand and appreciate how great it is.
Well, the only way to see that is via a reboot?
No, that's not the only way to see it.
No, from a, like, I'm obviously not for this idea, of course. I hate reboots. Yeah. It's just, I'm thinking from a business point of view, why people do it. But for young people, like, even though it makes no sense, a Citizen Kane reboot, but just like, I'm going to watch a movie with it's in black and white.
You're talking about options. You're talking about the fact that young people,
because young people have
choices.
A lot of options, like they have Netflix and all that.
But
then to go to the movie theater, it costs money. So am I going to use my money to watch
maybe the young people now going to watch Citizen Kane are just going to be the people really interested in going to
it'd be a strange world if in every multiplex there were old movies being played.
I haven't watched it. I watched parts of it, and I watched a lot of movies, but I haven't watched it. And
what's wrong
and
with you?
exactly
Can I just say that we're potentially disagreeing more about reboots than we did about
I was going to do a joke about that.
The movie reboot.
Let's go back to religion. Yeah. This is too religion.
Exactly. We should go back to religion. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, movie reboots. What's the deal with movie reboots?
The other thing I wanted to say is that there are so many ways to use a known property apart from the reboot. I was thinking about Bates Motel, which is a TV show based on the movie Psycho.
Yeah.
And instead of redoing Psycho, what they did is that they took the character, one of the central characters, and just told his story before Psycho in a few seasons. And I watched a little bit of it. And it's interesting, you know. It might not be the best thing in the world, but instead of trying to basically recapture the lightning in a bottle moment, Ghostbusters. Oh my god.
No. We can't go into Ghostbusters
we
now.
We can't go into Ghostbusters. We can't, but just like, why would we try to redo that? It's weird.
I don't know. I can't explain Ghostbusters.
So instead of reboots, I just find it interesting to see other people, with Fargo, for example, another example, just taking the universe surrounding a very famous piece of art and trying to expand on that instead of just trying to copy and paste something that was just so unique.
Yeah,
basically.
Okay. There are good ways to handle the intellectual property, or when studios or companies have the rights to the work, there are good ways of dealing with that and exploiting the material, and there are bad ways of doing it. Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I absolutely agree. Yeah, and so does Alex. Yeah, we all agree.
The new Spider-Man's pretty good.
I haven't seen it.
Yeah, it's good. It's good.
And it's the same story essentially. So, and there are good examples. The bad ones are so bad that we tend to forget. Like, they're actually sometimes occasional good ones.
That was a good example. That was a good example. Yeah, they also remade Ben-Hur. So, you know,
You mentioned Psycho. I can't remember who it was now, but someone remade Psycho shot for shot.
Gus Van
Sant reshot Psycho, but copying every single shot of the original. Wow,
it's weird. Well, that actually might be a weird, interesting way to do it. Just the craziest copy. I mean, I think it doesn't have a good reputation. I never watch it. Why would you? It's the same shot for shot.
I'd be quite curious to see if it's as good as the original. You know, when, like, I don't know if my audience have picked up on that, but like Psycho is this film by Alfred Hitchcock, and it's a kind of a landmark. The film fans will come back to film versus movie in a minute. The film fans will know Psycho because it's such an important film. Yeah. But it was one of the original slasher movies, or one of the original horror films. It's the original scary movie, basically, isn't it?
Yes.
And so a lot of the things that Hitchcock did in that film, in terms of the way it was directed, the camera movements and stuff. Again, it's one of those movies that created the language of cinema, you know. Mm-hmm. And so it's such an important film for that reason. And so to remake it by Gus Van Sant. Yes. Yeah, he remade the film identically as the original. So everything was identical, exactly the same camera positions, exactly the same timing, same lighting, same everything, shot for shot remake. Which is, and you kind of think, yeah, why?
Even
why
the actors. I'm kidding.
No, really old actors.
Yeah, I think it was Vince Vaughn.
Was it?
Who was an American comedy actor.
Yes.
Who did it.
Okay.
Yeah,
he was the main actor in.
Yeah, the main actor.
Okay. All right. Well, I feel like we've dealt with film reboots. We could continue talking about that. Oh, that's it. Film versus movie. What do you guys say? Do you say movie or film?
Movie.
And why don't you say film?
Because I hate Britain. I was thinking about that on my way here because I was thinking about, like, I was preparing in my head like this podcast, and then I realized like I don't say, oh, I'm going to go to the cinema to watch the reboot. I'm going to go to the movies to watch a reboot.
Yeah. So in American English, you don't say the cinema. You say the movie theater or the movies.
Yeah, you can say both. Yeah, but...
Movie theater, movies.
I think me is just because my first language is French. And for me, film is in French and movie is in English.
Oh, I see. Like they say film in French and movie is the English thing.
Yeah.
For British English, some British people don't like the word movie because they feel like it's American English. And, you know, some Brits are a bit uptight about American English. Mm. And they feel like, you know, I don't like that. It's American. And, you know, like, bastardized our language. That kind of thing. And... I don't mind, really, but for me, I feel like there actually is a difference between film and movie, and film is like a movie is a type of film. You know, you see what I mean?
Okay, yeah.
A movie is a type of film. So there's different types. You got films, including short films.
Yeah, yeah.
Documentary films, feature films, and movies. And I feel like a movie is an entertaining film that probably comes from Hollywood, and it's the sort of film that you'd see.
It's a big thing.
It's probably a big Hollywood entertainment type film.
Okay,
so that's a movie. It's like the sort of film you'd eat popcorn while watching it.
Okay,
you know, like that's a movie. Whereas
now I want popcorn.
Yeah, yeah. whereas you know, some sort of little art house thing, like an art movie, that's a film.
I think you would most likely say, oh my god, did you see the latest Robert De Niro movie? But you won't say, like, if it's an artsy independent movie, oh, I've seen the latest artsy fartsy movie. Or you'd say the film that was at the Cannes Film
you'd
Festival.
You'd see a French film but not a French movie. Is that fair to say? Because often French films are quite sort of arty and a bit more serious or more artistic in tone rather than being commercial.
How about picture?
Oh, picture is a nice word. I like the word picture.
Picture is for the Oscars.
Best picture.
Best picture.
Best picture.
Yeah, yes. That's right. Yes. And it's for the Oscars, and also Martin Scorsese describes his films as pictures.
Yes. And he's goddamn right.
Yeah, he's right, because they are pictures, aren't they?
They are pictures.
So I don't know if my audience picked up on that, but a picture is just another way of saying a film, but it's sort of a classy way of saying movie.
Fancier.
I think a good example is, so at the Oscars, as Fred said, it's best picture, right? But when it's like some kid's choice award, like best movie kiss, right? You don't say best film kiss.
Yeah. You have the MTV Movie Awards and you have the best picture Oscar. Yeah.
Right. So you wouldn't have like a kid wouldn't say, hey, mommy, can we go and see a picture?
No.
Mom was like, well, the new Gus Van Sant is now in the cinemas, darling, at the Art House Cinema. You know, can we go and see the latest, Werner Herzog picture?
Have you seen the film Cars 3?
the greatest animated picture, Cars 4, where they're not cars anymore. They're like, they've moved on to like boats or something. Helicopters, because it was cars, and then they introduced planes into the car world.
Yeah, I know. And we also don't have time for cars.
Cars.
It's a divisive subject.
I could talk about cars for 60 minutes. I really, really could.
I could.
Okay.
Movie reboots.
You know what? We've got two other things, but they're far too big. These subjects are far too big.
I just want to see what they were quickly.
And I'll tell you what. I'll do a little timer.
Yeah.
Okay, how many minutes? 3 minutes each. Just a second. Countdown. Do. Googling countdown timer.
Do you want me to ask Siri?
I feel like I'm a sports...
Too late.
Commentator, like, you got 3 minutes per second.
300 minutes, and the card is going to get turned over when the clock starts, which is right now. It says, Alex...
Flat Earth, I debated with some guys.
Wait, say that again.
Flat Earth, I debated with some guys.
Yeah, so Flat Earth, you know what that is.
Yeah.
It's the controversial idea that the Earth is flat.
Yeah, and very controversial.
I debated with some Flat Earth guys.
Yeah.
Guys who think the Earth is flat. I went on their podcast.
Yeah.
And I debated Flat Earth with them for about an hour and 45 minutes. It was even longer than this.
Is there so much to say about it?
Oh, yeah. There's a lot to say about that. Yeah.
You know what? I'm going to listen to it because... No, I'm not.
No, it's...
Why? Why would I...
It's funny.
You can listen to me... You can listen to me debating with them.
I'm a flat earther.
Okay. I'm gonna check it because I saw it on your website.
Yeah.
I didn't listen to it because...
Nice plug.
As a very...
Plugs.
And I don't even know how to start. I just believe in science so much.
Yeah.
I can't.
Do you think I was wrong to talk to them?
No, that's not what I mean. But personally, I don't know. It already hurts me inside right now.
Yeah.
Well, it's so obvious.
Well, for me, obvious. I'm interested that, like, if I was in Luke's position,
mm-hmm.
I don't care what, like, the details of their point of view. It's more about analyzing their brain. That seems very condescending, but like. Yeah. How can people think a certain way? Are they trying? Sometimes people just want the attention of like, oh, I'm a
flat earther.
Flat earther.
You mean people might choose to become flat earthers for other reasons, not just because they believe that the. So it's
like I'm very fascinated with people who think of something that's completely opposite of what I think.
Yeah.
I find that more interesting than someone who's like, yeah, I agree with you. It's like,
exactly. That's the context from which I came into this whole thing. That I talked about it on my podcast and I said that I didn't believe in it. And, you know, and I talked about how I said, you know, oh, it's ridiculous. You know, there are people who think the earth is flat in this day and age. Yeah. And I went through some of the usual things that people would say, like, well, you know, what about gravity? And, you know, what about this, that, and the other? And then someone from the Flat Earth podcast got in touch with me. And they were like, they said, oh, we heard what you said about Flat Earth on the podcast. And, you know, there are, you know, you said it for yourself. You hadn't looked into it. And so we've got all the answers to the questions that you had. My questions were like, well, what about gravity? You know, that kind of question. And so they were like, we've got all the answers to these questions. We'd like to invite you onto our podcast to talk about it. And I was like, all right, that sounds fun.
Okay. So my only question is, why do they think people are lying about it?
You'll have to listen to the interview.
I'll
time is about to run out.
Time is up.
There you go. You can listen to it, Fred, on my website. There's a plug.
Nice.
There's two things I posted on my website. There's a sort of an audio where I talked about the experience of going on the Flat Earth podcast. Okay. Yeah, and then you can listen to their episode with our debate.
I'll check it out.
If you've got the time and you can be bothered, then you could have a listen to
I'll
that.
Listen to podcasts.
Yeah. Okay. So we've got another one here.
Let's ask Siri this time.
You're going to ask Siri. Okay. Yeah. Let's do that.
Hey Siri, can you set a 3-minute timer, please?
Okay, 3 minutes and counting.
Thank you very much.
Has she started already?
Yeah, it started.
Okay.
Let's go. Millennials, is it true what people say?
Millennials, is it true what people say? So we know what millennials are, right? These are people who are born in a certain period of time.
Is it between like
1980 something?
1980, 1999?
Yeah, there's some debate about when millennials really, you know, when the time period is. But it's basically from the end of the 70s or the early 80s until, I don't know, like the late 90s, I think. So that generation. Are you from the millennial generation?
I think I'm millennial.
You're millennials. Is it true what people say about millennials?
No.
Yes. Okay. No, it's not.
What do people say about millennials?
Self-involved.
Self-obsessed.
Very selfish. Technology, whatever.
That they are...
Rats.
They're addicted to technology, that they're self-oriented or self-obsessed, that they are a bit selfish, that they're difficult to manage. Mm. You know, that's what's his name, Simon Sinek... there's a famous YouTube video of him talking about it. He said that people say they're difficult to manage. Mm-hmm. He says that they are they are under pressure, and that they feel like they're special. I don't know. These are some of the stereotypes.
Impersonal.
Yeah. None of it is true.
That they're not team players, and that they need special treatment, and that they want to feel like they're as individuals that they're special, and then they're sensitive.
It's the me generation.
It's like even more, because the 70s was the me generation, but it's like the who else could there be generation?
I just feel that it's not that I don't like the term, it's just that I think every generation is stupid. The fact that the generation before is like criticizing the people who are criticizing the millennials, going, oh, why don't you do this my way? Mm. And even probably like Alexander the Great and like his father is like, wow, why didn't you conquer it faster? I don't know. Just always complaining, and it doesn't matter. And the difference is that the millennials will do their stupid things, say, on a phone, whereas the older generation will do the exact same stupid thing, but just out loud at the table.
Callback.
So it's just, I just don't like the fact that. But it's classic, like, get off my lawn, get off my porch kind of mentality.
Yeah.
So you mean that it's not unique to this generation, that the criticisms of millennials could have been made at any young generation of people at any time?
Yes.
Yeah. Uh-huh. My theory is that human beings don't really change that much in terms of, like, their needs and their aspirations and their flaws. So it's just different tools. Yeah. Same old story.
And also millennials have created things that do help relationships get better and stuff, like Facebook. I wouldn't have been able to be in contact with an old friend who lives very far. Yeah.
If our parents had Instagram, they'd be on it. They'd be on it all
just
the time.
Very convenient that was a buzzer.
That was 3 minutes.
Yeah. Thank you, Siri.
Okay. Well, I guess we put that topic to bed then, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, another topic sorted. We fixed the millennial debate.
Yes.
We've dealt with flat earth.
And religion.
We sorted out film reboots.
Yeah.
We solved religion as if it was a problem in the first place that needed to be solved. We dealt with accents.
I'm doing an accent right now.
Bloody
very,
hell.
Very good.
I should not do accents anymore.
That was your English accent.
Is it?
Play L.
That's quite good. Can you carry on doing English?
Can I carry on doing an English accent? Yeah. I don't think It's very. It's going to get stranger. No accents.
Interesting. It's. I always find it interesting to hear people. Doing
I can do word by word.
Yeah.
Word.
Yeah.
Word.
Word by word.
Dog.
You can do them as in dog. Random.
I said word. Okay,
he loves dogs.
Dogs.
He loves. You're from Yorkshire suddenly.
I guess.
He loves dogs.
Dogs.
He loves dogs.
Scotland.
No accent. No.
Okay.
It was the first one was Origins or no English.
It was Fred and Alex colon Origins.
A reboot.
We had religion. Yeah, I've been through accents. English. That was the other one. We
Scottish.
We got to the bottom of English there, didn't we? Yeah. As well. Okay, guys. Thanks so much for coming onto the podcast. Do you feel different now to how you felt at the beginning of this process? I'm calling it a process as well.
Yeah, I know Alex more.
I'm going to watch a reboot in your face.
I'm going to send him pizzas now.
Good.
That I know he's Italian. We're going to bring the Italian thing a lot. I just like it.
Yeah.
Because it's weird. And he spent 5 minutes explaining that. Oh, I never talk about being Italian.
That's right. It's like he's never talked about being Italian, so he's been like, saving it all up for now.
Like, I never talk about being Italian or
Mamma mia.
Let me spend 10 minutes telling you how I never talk about being Italian.
But because of those 5 minutes,
please don't bring it up while I talk about.
It's going to be years of me bringing up that he's a quarter Italian.
You're Italian to me now, and to all the people listening to this podcast.
Exactly,
except for Italians, like no.
Except for he's not Italian.
He's never had a gnocchi.
Exactly. Right. So you feel like you know Alex better now. Alex, do you feel different now?
I resent Fred for his reboot. No, I'm kidding. No, I just reinforced what I like about Fred, I guess, and then about you that you have a nice place. No, that I really enjoyed my time here. So. I was very nervous performing. See, comic. I was very nervous being on this podcast.
Were you nervous?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, the thing I talked about, like, I really wanted to be, I guess, helpful for your listeners. Mm-hmm. And then I didn't want to ramble and also mumble a lot, so I didn't want to do that. So
don't worry about rambling. That's not such a big deal. I mean, I've done enough of that already.
Apart from all this, there's a 20-minute intro to come.
No, I'm not going to do that. I promise I will not do that this time. God, I'm not going to do that. I won't. Because I did a sort of...
By now they know.
Yeah, but I sort of did an introduction right at the beginning of this recording, didn't I?
You did.
Yes.
You did.
Kind of. So I'm going to just jump straight in with no intro.
Boom.
And we'll see how that turns out. But ladies and gentlemen listening to this, you heard a very sincere statement there from Alex saying that he felt nervous because he was worried that you, the listeners to this, wouldn't find his contribution useful. Fred wasn't worried about this at all.
No, I'm actually cooler than Alex.
He doesn't care, apparently. But you know, Alex was very concerned that he might not be useful to you. So, you know, you can let us know in the comment section. Either he was useful, or you can just say he was not useful at all. Okay. Don't write that. That wouldn't be nice. But, you know. You
can, millennials with their comments.
Can at least one of you write it so I can have, like, a screenshot of it.
He's so needy and sensitive, like a typical millennial. Okay. All right. Well, thanks for coming over, guys. Thanks for the mango. It was delicious. Thanks for your contributions.
Thanks for having us.
Great. Let me just restate that Alex won the competition 3-2.
Yes.
I didn't realize it would be a competition. That was nothing to do with the table card thing. Mm-hmm. He just won at life.
Yes. 3-2. Now I will swear in French.
Yes.
Okay.
Call back.
Sacre bleu.
Sacre
fromage.
Sacre fromage. Sorry.
Never mind. You have to say goodbye to my audience. Do you know how we do it on this podcast?
Nay.
We go like this. Bye, 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 bye. You know, like it's like a tape being slowed down. That's the right idea. So you have to do that.
All at once or individually?
Just try and mess it. Just try and get it wrong as much as possible. So thanks very much for listening to the podcast, ladies and gentlemen. I'll be speaking to you in some way, probably with my mouth, I'd imagine, through a microphone. And you can look forward to that. But for now, it's just time to say goodbye.
Bye.
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 Bye. Fox. That's hilarious.
What did you actually say at the end?
We both said frogs at the same time.
You both said frogs at the same time. Well, that's a good way to end the episode. Good.
Yeah.
Now I'm hungry.
Thanks for listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
If you enjoyed this episode of Luke's English Podcast, consider signing up for Luke's English Podcast Premium. You'll get regular premium episodes with stories, vocabulary, grammar, and pronunciation teaching from me, and the usual moments of humour and fun. Plus, with your subscription, you will be directly supporting my work and making this whole podcast project possible. For more information about Luke's English Podcast Premium, go to teacherluke.co.uk/premium info.